If you can turn in the Bible to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to look at Galatians 5, specifically verse 22 and 23. We're in this series that is just simply called Get Your Fruit On. And what this is it is a look at the fruit of the Spirit. We find this passage about the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. So this guy named the Apostle Paul, he is writing a letter to a group of churches in a region of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, called Galatia. He's writing to these churches. There are people who have infiltrated these churches, who are trying to tell newly converted Christians that to really be a good Christian, to actually really be saved at all, that they needed to be Jews before they became Christians. And so if you really want to be saved, you need to abstain from pork. You need to religiously honor the Sabbath. You need to follow the temple system. You need to celebrate the festivals. And the big thing they got hung up on was circumcision. If you really want to be an all-star Christian, if you really love Jesus, you'll get circumcised. And that's not a really good plan for church growth, to require circumcision for anybody who wants to give their life to Jesus. It's a hard sell to say before you get in the baptism water today, break out the scissors. That's hard. And this is what these people that were infiltrating the church were doing. Really, they were selling religion where Jesus had already given them salvation as a gift of grace through faith. And so Paul is ticked off at these people that he calls Judaizers, and he's telling the Galatian Christians, and in doing so, he's telling us, salvation is not about works. Salvation is about the grace you received in Christ. And Paul is telling them that works do not earn salvation. But just like the brother of Jesus, who sometime after Paul wrote this, Paul would actually confirm that what works do, works actually show that you are saved. And so he introduces this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. He says the works of the flesh are evident. And he lists all these sins. These are the works of the flesh. This is what working out your salvation does to you. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and he starts to say, these are the things that come out of your life when your heart's fully surrendered to Jesus. These are the kind of things that come out of your heart when your heart is fully submitted to Christ and your heart is fully filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what it looks like. These things come out of you. And that's why Jesus said people would be known by their fruit. That's why James, the brother of Jesus, said that faith without works is dead. That if someone has faith in Jesus, these good works, these good words, these good deeds, these good attributes will pour out of the overflow of their heart. Now, some of you may have grown up in a tradition that focuses not on the fruit of the Spirit, but instead focuses on the gifts of the Spirit. And as a church, at Fellowship Church, we fully believe in the activity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. But if you're not careful, you could get really obsessed over the gifts of the Spirit and totally ignore the fruit of the Spirit. And so some churches get so hung up, not on circumcision, but on speaking in tongues or in prophecy or words of knowledge or words of wisdom or healing or miracles. It's only the supernatural gifts they get hung up on. And they're like, real Christians will do these things. And we look at the scripture and the scripture says, whoa, real Christians will produce fruit. And so we won't stand before the judgment throne of God one day and have him say, what gifts did you produce out of your heart? But what the Lord will actually do is look at our fruit. What fruit did you bear? Showing that you trusted in my Son. And so God is looking to see how we steward his Spirit in our heart and how that will always produce fruit. And I don't know about you, but I've known some people in my life within the Christian community who like to boast about the spiritual gifts they possess and have, but bear absolutely no fruit in their lives. And so I would much rather talk to a fruity person than a gifty person. I want to see the fruits of the Spirit alive and well, because those are the things that change the world. The works of the flesh, it's just who you are. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's what is bore out of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And so that's why Paul says, and he tells us, and the Spirit speaking to us today, says the fruit of the Spirit, what is it? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They were all hung up on the law. And Paul says, against these things, there's no law. Bear as much fruit as you want. Just like Jesus said, bear much fruit. If you abide in Jesus, if you focus on your relationship and walk with Jesus, you'll bear much fruit. If you walk in and by the Spirit, you will bear much fruit. Let's be a community that focuses on bearing fruit. So we've talked about love. Love is the fruit by which all other fruit is produced. We talked about joy. We had our pastor of operations, Ladina Doherty, speak on joy a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, we talked about peace. What is peace? Love, joy, peace, we talked about last week. And God really convicted a lot of us last week in regard to peace. But today, I want to talk about patience. I want to talk to you about what it means to bear the fruit of patience within your life. And we can't really talk about patience without talking about waiting. So who loves to wait for stuff? Like, we all do, right? We all love waiting. There's nothing I like more than going to a doctor's office and sitting in the waiting room for about 30 minutes after my check-in time, being called to go back into the doctor's room. I don't know what we call these things. But to go back into the doctor's room, that's about 5 by 5 feet. And there are magazines from 10 years before, and being put back in that room and having to wait there for another 30 minutes. Who loves that? It's awesome, right? Or like, who loves to be so vulnerable laying out on a dentist chair with things all over your body and all inside of your mouth, and like, you're going to have to wait for yourself to numb, and you sometimes fall asleep. You have to wait so long. We love waiting. There's not too much greater things about waiting for restaurants. My wife and I went to a restaurant in Lincoln City a couple of weeks ago, and we got sat immediately. There was not many people in the restaurant, and the server came up to us and said, "Hey, we just want you to know it's going to be about an hour and a half before your food is done today." We're like, "You trying to get us out of here? Because there ain't a whole lot of people here." And they're like, "Yeah, so if you want to leave, that's cool, man." I think they were trying to get rid of us. The owner would have been pleased, I'm sure. And so we ordered our food nonetheless because we didn't want to wait to make up our mind of what we would order. And the food actually came pretty quick. They lied to us. And God bless them, we still gave them a tip. And so we love to wait. How many of you love traffic? Traffic is amazing, right? We love to wait in traffic. I have driven in two cities. Let me tell you a story of two cities. Seattle and Los Angeles. I have driven in both of those cities many, many, many times. And let me tell you, without a doubt, I would rather drive in Los Angeles any day than Seattle. That city is nuts when it comes to traffic. And I love that I-5 passing the Moda Center in Portland has two lanes. Ingenious urban planning there for traffic. And so we get really upset when we have to wait for and on things. Now, these are all, we'll call a lot of these things just first world problems. They're not really that big of a deal. But then we have to wait on some really tough things. Some of you have had to wait on test results before. Wait on test results to see what the status of your health is. Some of us have had to wait on a wayward child to return home. Some of us have had to wait for a prison sentence or a parole to end. Some of us have had to wait for a health concern to end, either through death or through healing. Some of us have had to be patient and wait on our spouses when they've abandoned us and stand in faith for them to return. We have to wait sometimes for some really difficult things. We wait oftentimes for suffering to come to an end. Nobody likes to wait. But yet, there is this phrase, there is this saying that we quote pretty often, and a lot of times people think it comes from the Bible. It doesn't. It's this phrase, patience is a, what is it? Virtue. We don't ever use that word, but in this phrase, we use it. Hey, patience is a virtue. I was actually curious this week, where did that come from? The first time that was ever recorded was from a poem that was written in the 1300s. That patience is the greatest virtue is how it was directly translated from that old poem. And then when we get to the book of Romans in Scripture, particularly in chapter 5, verse 3 and 5, I don't have it on the screen, but it's on your app today, Romans 5, 3 and 5, it actually says that patiently enduring suffering builds character. How many of you love your character to be built? Character building is not fun times. It says patiently enduring suffering builds character, and then it follows with, and character leads to hope. And hope does not disappoint because Christ's love has been poured out in our hearts. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans 5, he actually says we can rejoice in suffering because that suffering is building up endurance, and the endurance gives you character. So some of the people with some of the most solid character you've ever met, I guarantee they've gone through a lot. And they came out better, wiser, and more mature for it. And a lot more loving and a lot more humble. So our patience, if we had to ask what patience is handling waiting well. Patience is to handle waiting well. Waiting through delay. Waiting for something to happen. Waiting under persecution, suffering, or illness. Waiting on someone. Giving others time. Giving others space. Giving others chances. I looked up a definition of the word patience or patient, and on the screen I've got it. It says patient, and it's also on the notes in your app. But the definition of patient is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. How many of you would say you're pretty patient people? Say, I have the ability and the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. How many of you has that family member that you go and you put your name in at a restaurant, and it's been like 45 seconds, and they told you it was going to be a 20-minute wait, and that one person in your family wants to go check in with the host every 2 minutes to see if the table's ready yet? Probably not a patient person. And so can you accept, can you tolerate delay without getting angry and without actually getting upset? And so I would say to be patient is to be able to handle waiting with peace. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Ladina talked about a little bit a few weeks ago. We haven't talked about it much. I don't know if you've noticed that one fruit of the Spirit leads to another. Because you can't have patience without peace. You can't have true peace without joy, and you absolutely cannot have joy without love. This is a trickle down and a triple up effect that we have to have peace in order to have patience. And so patience is being able to wait with peace. How many of you would like more patience? We make these stupid Christian jokes like, don't pray for patience, brother. The Lord will give you it. Like, no, that's dumb. Don't do that. But what we really should be praying for is peace. Because if we have peace, we'll have patience. There's a couple other words that appear in the Bible and in a couple English translations of the Bible that are interchangeable with this word peace. One of those words is forbearance. You can forbear with something. The other word, which is used pretty often in the King James Bible, it's an accurate translation. It's just not the best use of how we talk today. It's this word long-suffering. And I'll show you in a minute how long-suffering is a little different than the kind of patience we're going to talk about today. But one of the words that is interchangeably used with peace, it's forbearance, it's long-suffering. And outside of the Bible, another word that we use that's an old English word that we use for patience is this word suffrage. They went through a suffrage. What it says is that they were patient under suffering. And so if to be patient is a fruit of the Spirit, I just want to ask the question, what kind of patience are we talking about? And so Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Now the Bible was written, the New Testament, the book of Galatians was written in the language of Greek. And so sometimes we get the best words we can possibly use for these Greek words, but sometimes they're hard to interpret into English. And so the word that is used in the New Testament, there's two words in the New Testament for patience. We'll get to that. Two words for patience. But I want to point out the word that's used in Galatians 5:22, and it's this word here. Markruthrumia. Markruthrumia. Don't look that up later to see if I pronounced it right. Just believe me, trust me. I did a lot of study on this and just deal with my pronunciation. Macrothumia. And the definition for this word, macrothumia, the definition is, here it is, patience. But it's a little deeper. It's endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. Definition two, patience, forbearance. Here it is, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. How many of you say, I don't know if I can go without avenging wrongs, but I'll be slow to it. I'm patient. And so this is what patience, macrothumia, in Galatians 5:22 is. And I want you to know, if you were to look up each and every time that word appears in the New Testament, there's about 20 of them, by the way. Each time, every time, that word is only used in relation to people. If you look, every time you find that word in Greek in the New Testament, it is always talking about being patient with people. So macrothumia is to be patient, to bear with, to suffer with, to tolerate people. How many of you think, I'm an all-star at that? Super patient with people. There's another word in the New Testament that's used for patience. The other word in the New Testament used for patience is hupomene. Hupomene. And this Greek word hupomene, each and every single time that word is used in the New Testament, about a dozen times, it's always used in reference to circumstances. Macrothumia, people. Hupomene, circumstances. In particular, it usually is talking about being patient in persecution, being patient in temptation, being patient in battle, and being patient in, specifically, most oftentimes, suffering. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, macrothumia. The actual fruit of the Spirit that your spirit is producing as the Holy Spirit works within your heart is the patience, the ability to be patient with people. And so that's the patience we're looking at, to suffer with people, to tolerate people, to be patient with people. And you might say, well, why should we be patient with people? Why is patience with people a fruit of the Spirit? And I would just say, because God has been so patient with us. And if we're wanting to produce God-like qualities in our lives after Christ, then we must look at how he has exhibited these things. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The word is macrothumia. God is patient with you. And so what Peter is saying is, hey, I know that some of you are getting really tired of waiting for Jesus to return and to restore all things. He's not slow as you think he's being slow. In fact, what he's doing is he's being patient. He's being patient with you because some of you are not fully surrendered to Christ. What he's saying is God is being patient with the world, and not until this season of grace is over, not until this season of God offering his loving kindness to the world, which has sinned against him, then he'll return. But right now he's being patient. And so Peter's saying, yes, you should be excited about Jesus to return. And they'd use this word, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But there should be a tension. You should actually kind of be wanting him to wait so that more people will be saved. Some of you Christians are so excited about getting to heaven, but you're not so excited about bringing other people with you. And so Peter says, be patient. God's patient. He's giving people the opportunity to repent. That's why we're waiting. God loves people and he wants more people to be saved. So the love passage of Scripture, we use it in weddings. 1 Corinthians 13. First and foremost, Paul writes, love is patient. The very first description for the word love in the Bible, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. Love bears patience. patience all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. It takes a lot of patience to really actually love somebody. Think about the love of God for a minute. Think about how God patiently awaited your repentance, your surrender to him, and your salvation. Think about how God has tolerated, not your sin, but he's tolerated you. And he didn't give up on you when you were at or are at right now your worst. Think about how God has suffered with you through your deepest pain. Think about how Christ endured the cross for you, for the joy set before him. Think about how God has been patient with and has never let you go, even after you continue in sin after your salvation. Think about how patient God has been in always waiting for you to return home after walking away. How many of you have ever walked away before? God's patient with you, waiting for you to return home. Think about how God is tolerant and long-suffers with you as you grow, mature, and develop your character. Let me tell you, church, without the patience of God, we wouldn't stand a chance. Well, God hasn't had to be too patient with me, Pastor. Oh, he has. You're a piece of work. He has. And if you don't realize it, he's been real patient with you. See, this is the kind of fruit, the kind of patience that we're supposed to bear. Because this is the patience of God. This is the patience of the Spirit. And as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit does live within us now. And when our heart is fully submitted to Jesus, and when our heart is fully filled with the power of Jesus, this kind of patience should be the result. But let me tell you a secret. I lose my mind if I've got to wait 2 seconds for an image to upload to Instagram. I lose my mind when a Taco Bell employee does not understand my order. I was with my friend Ryan, who I think he's here today. Just say present. Ryan, are you here? Present. Amen. He's here. He got to win. He'll know. This is no exaggeration. He was embarrassed. We went through the Taco Bell drive-thru in Lincoln City, and we were on a grocery run, but we took a little man stop at Taco Bell on the way. Didn't tell the wives. And at Taco Bell, I ordered my order, and I like to exchange shredded chicken for grilled chicken. Shredded chicken's gross. It's just like chunky water. Grilled chicken's where it's at. And so I ordered this like I do 5 days a week. And as I did, the dear woman behind the on the other side of the machine, she's like, I see her do what they all do. Sub chicken or sub beef for chicken. I'm like, dear ma'am, this is not a beef burrito. There's no need to sub beef for chicken. What I would like to do is sub shredded chicken for grilled chicken. And here is where it is on the menu, because I know, I've learned. This is the button you push. It doesn't charge. It doesn't cost anything. Nope, you're still doing it wrong. Let me show you how over the intercom here. And she says, this is Taco Bell. We charge for everything, buddy. Did she not use the word buddy? I do think that my burrito was peed in after that. Worse than being spat. It wasn't good, but it did taste different and good too. And so we lose our minds. I lose my mind if I've got to wait for 10 seconds for an ad to show in a video I'm watching. Like, kids today don't even know what waiting for commercials really means. But then I lose my mind when it takes my son 8 hours to complete the most simple task in the universe. I lose my mind when my daughter loses her mind when her mother's trying to detangle her hair. I lose my mind when some people's spouses take a real long time to get out of the house. I don't know whose spouse you struggle with, but we all have spouses. When we lose our mind with those things, but then I realize I'm just as annoying to them. I am just as frustrating to them. You see, I've got a 14-year-old son, and I kind of prepped him on this if he's in here. He does the most ridiculous thing sometimes that I come unglued about. I can't deal with some of the most ridiculous things this kid does. But then the Holy Spirit, nudges me, says, "Hey, buddy," just like that girl at the Taco Bell window. "Hey, buddy, you wish you were half as cool as your son is now when you were 14. I don't see your son wearing aqua socks. Hey, buddy. Your son may drive you nuts, but be patient with him. After all, you were there once too." And then the Holy Spirit says, "Actually, you weren't even there. You were way worse. So get over it." God has called us to be patient with people. God is patient. A young Christian, a new Christian wrestling with sin, a new Christian not maturing as much and as fast as you think that they should, be patient with them. God is. Encourage them. Don't try to drag them to meet your expectations. Encourage people when you see them not maturing as quick as you think that you're mature, because you ain't either. Your kid or a kid in your life makes a dumb decision. Remember the dumb decisions you made and be patient with them. God is. Come alongside of them. You got a total jerk of a coworker, makes every day at your office hell for you. I would encourage you, remember, they're only making other people miserable because of their inner misery. They likely don't even know about that inner misery. Be patient with them. God is. And God's patient with you when you make people miserable, which you do. Don't let those people get to you because it's not about you. Their issue that they're driving you nuts with, it's about them. They're just projecting that onto you. So it's not about you. Let it go. Be patient. Ask God to let them see the fruit of the Spirit in you, and it might actually change them. How many of you love to go to Walmart? Amen. It's just an amazing place to go, isn't it? There is no place better to experience peace and patience. And so, you see, what happens once we have children over the age of a day old, we like to judge other parents for their parenting. And so I just want you to know, if you see maybe a new mom or a new dad not parenting the way that you think they should, first of all, you're not them, so you don't know how they should parent. Let's make that clear, right? You don't know how they should parent. Things are different. But maybe you were a new mom or dad at one point too, and in fact, you were. And that poor girl and that poor guy doesn't need your judgment, doesn't need your scolding, or you to look at them with disdain at Winco. They don't need it. He needs your patience, just like you needed others to be patient with you. God's patient with that mom. God's patient with that dad. Join him in doing so. You see somebody making the same mistake over and over and over again, don't give up on them. God hasn't. Be patient. Prodigal son in your life walks away and is wasting their life in a pig pen of sin. I want to tell you, be patient with them. Their father is. And just like their heavenly father is patient, you too should be waiting at the front porch for them to return home. And I would even encourage you to start planning the party of what you'll do when they return. You need to be patient with people. Your spouse isn't who you thought they should be? Well, you got a lot of learning to do, first of all. Your spouse isn't who you think they should be. They're not who you thought that they were. Don't push them away or walk away yourself because you're not being patient. Be patient with them. You made a commitment to love them. And if I remember correctly, the vows say for better or for worse. Be patient with your spouse. Don't walk away just because it's easy. I could go on and on, but the bottom line is God is patient with you. And to have the love of God within you through his Spirit, it's to bear the fruit of patience in your life. So here's what I want you to do. Focus on your walk with Jesus. Focus on your love of Christ. Focus on walking in the Spirit in your life. Think about how patient God has been with you. And God, I believe, will transform your heart so that you can be patient with others, so much so that that patience grows and it actually flows out of you. In the moment that you become impatient with someone, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God today that the Holy Spirit would nudge you and say, hey, buddy, people need a whole lot of patience for you. Why don't you give someone to someone else and let them see the fruit of the Spirit exhibited? I'm going to lead you into a time of prayer. But I do want to make a couple clarifying points. If you just want to start to prepare your heart to be in an attitude of prayer, whatever that looks like for you, I'd encourage you to do so. On Tuesday, I had my mind all made up about where this message was going to go. And God just prodded me, saying, no, make this about people. Make this about being patient with people. And then the Spirit prompted me to point out a couple really important things that I want you to very, very carefully listen to. Number one, to be patient with someone does not mean that you don't have boundaries with them. Please hear that. To be patient with someone does not mean you don't have boundaries with them. To be patient with someone doesn't mean that you always give everyone infinite chances. There are some people in your life that you should not. To be patient does not mean that there aren't things in your children's lives that you do need to take a stand on. So you can't just let your kids run loose and I'm just being patient with them. Like, you do need to come alongside of them. But do it with patience and with grace and with love. To be patient with someone, it doesn't mean that you should be patient with someone to the point of enabling them. I have seen many of us enable people at the expense of saying we're being patient. It might not be patience. It might actually be some serious codependence issues. You're enabling them instead of actually pushing them to get help. And then finally, to be patient with someone doesn't mean there aren't extenuating circumstances where you and your children's safety is more important than patience with someone violent in your life. So if there's someone hurting you or your children, you don't need to be patient with that. You actually need to get to safety. And so there are some extenuating circumstances here with patience. And sometimes there are things that we need to tackle head on that we use patience as an excuse to not deal with. There have been people in my life that I have put up with some things I shouldn't have, and I just simply thought, I'm just being patient. God's going to take care of this. But I didn't actually believe God would take care of it, by the way. It was just me avoiding dealing with it myself. That's not the same as patience. So there are things you do need to deal with, but you can do it with patience. But I believe that these type of circumstances I just clarified are rare compared to the occurrences of needing to show radical patience to the people we come into contact with. And if we focused on these rare circumstances where maybe patience doesn't look the same, we could risk never showing patience to anyone. So could you bow your heads and close your eyes as we go into a time of prayer? Just a few questions for you to ponder as you bring these questions to God. These are not questions for you to answer for other people and bring judgment. These are questions for you to answer yourself. Not with a show of hands, but just a search of your heart. Would you say this morning, God, I look at this message, and there are people in my life that I am not being patient with. There's people in my life that I am not bearing the fruit of patience with, and that's what you've called me to bear. And I believe that as I ask that question, if there's people in your life that you're not, I would like to ask God now to begin to show you faces and names of those in your life that you need to start showing radical patience to. And they may not be faces and names. They might actually be people groups. They might be entire groups of people that you have given up on being patient with. And I would just ask you to ask the Holy Spirit right now, change my heart. May the patience that you have shown me would be poured out on those I have no patience for. God, I have no patience. I acknowledge that. But would you allow that to be poured out unto others? Because the fruit of the Spirit, it's love. God, I need more love. It's joy. God, give me more joy. It's peace. God, that's what I long for. It's patience. Jesus, I need more. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. God, help me be more kind. It's goodness. Lord, I want your goodness to show through me. Faithfulness. God, make me faithful to you and to others. Gentleness. God, help me not to come with a heavy hand when I'm not showing patience to people. Instead, let me be gentle with people because people have needs that I don't even know they're dealing with, that I have no right to come down heavy on them. Self-control. God, give me self-control. Self-control is what we need to do all these other things. It comes from love, and then self-control helps govern these things. And God wants us to be patient with people. Who you work with tomorrow that you need radical patience for? Who's in your home tonight that you need radical patience for? What extended family member you're just so tired of seeing make the same mistake again and again? They need some radical patience. God, would you allow everyone at the hearing of my voice just to bear radical patience on the people in their life? And may that patience not just be for us or for them, but may it be for you, God. May your patience make a change, make a difference.